And joining me now in the Care of Yes studios are Elsa Dimitriadis and Amanda Newbury, here to talk about Becky Shaw, The Tragic Comedy of Bad Manners by Gina Gianfrido. I love saying that, a tragic comedy of bad manners. So you must enjoy it even more performing this show. It opened last night downtown Lafayette at Theater 810. And of course, Elsa, you are one of the co-founders of Wanderlust Theater, which produced this play. And Amanda, are you Becky Shaw?
No. I'm a little too old to be Becky Shaw.
Well, I don't really know, having not seen that. Well, let's talk about Becky Shaw. It's very familiar to you. I don't think it's a household play.
Oh, absolutely not.
No? Okay.
It's a relatively new play. It debuted in 2008 at the Humana Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, and then moved to Off-Broadway. Excuse me. And it is a relatively new piece. It's a play about a woman who sets her best guy friend up with her husband's coworker. And they all bring a lot of baggage into the situation and things don't go well.
Because the first part that you describe sounds pretty common and could be a part of any sitcom these days,
setting
someone up. But it sounds like that's where the comparison ends right there.
Definitely. Yeah. And everybody is kind of on their worst behavior from time to time. But nobody's all bad and nobody's all good. And I think that most people can look and identify or at least know that those characters seem familiar from their real life.
Well, we were just talking about it, actually, because last night I had two friends who came to see it who don't normally go to theater, or they'll go to, as I call it, safe theater, you know, popular theater. And so they came to see it because I was in it, and they were blown away. And my girlfriend said, I've never been to anything like this. She's from Lake Chuck, as she calls it, Lake Charles. But she said, I got so into it. She said it reminded me of an ex-boyfriend, one of the characters that was in it. So she was rooting when, you know, he was people were absolutely against him. You know, she was like, yes.
Well, because actually, when you just a little bit that I'm listening to you describe, it's more like our lives probably than the sitcoms that present those situations.
Because
really, everything is so heightened. They're all so beautiful. It's all so perfect and comes out. But our lives aren't funny like that.
Right.
So this mixture, the tragic comedy, is probably more aligned with...
Oh, you certainly find yourself laughing at them, you know. And while you're laughing at them, you're going, oops, maybe I've done that. Or, you know, something similar. Or somebody you know has done that. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very interesting characters.
Well,
you like and you dislike them. It's that kind of...
Well, again, that goes along with what you're trying to describe, that there's really no one side, no black or white. Well, tell us who the characters are. Becky Shaw, obviously.
Right.
Who are the other characters?
Becky Shaw is the person that is set up, the new coworker. Max and Susanna are... best friends and also raised together as brother and sister. And Amanda plays their mother. And
with multiple sclerosis.
Yes. And which is funny in this play. and then Stephen Cooper plays Andrew, who is the husband of the, you know, who has the coworker Becky Shaw.
So there are five characters.
Yes.
Okay. Already it's sounding so complicated.
It is very convoluted.
Has a lot of levels to it.
Yes. In fact, today Stephen Cooper and I were texting each other about the play. And, oh, have you ever thought of this? And this conversation must have happened off stage.
And it's already opened even.
Oh, absolutely. And we've done this endlessly. So.
Well, so describe some of these and not the ones that you've just discovered last night, but you chose this play. Something about it really drew you.
Rarely. You know, we read plays throughout the year. And I came out of – I was reading in the bedroom. I came out to the family room and I was like, I have not read a play like this. I can't tell you when. I mean, it's funny and sad and tragic, and you root for – you ally yourself with different people and it changes throughout the play. I'm super psyched about this piece.
So as a director, you could see the possibilities.
Right.
And you hadn't even seen it. You were just reading the play and the language.
Right. It's fascinating, and it's an interesting piece because there are lots of locations, and so we've reconfigured 810 So it's actually a thrust space now rather than a proscenium. And that allowed for us to have lots of different locations. And it also allowed for the audience, since you're right there, to be doubly uncomfortable that these people are arguing right. and having a love affair right in front of you and you can't get away, you know.
It's not safe so. Theater.
It's like being in – it's not safe. And that's what I love about Wanderlust Theater. They, you know, they do go – they take risks, which I think is great.
I'm not going to be perfectly comfortable the
right.
whole time.
We hope not.
And not in a bad way, but right. you can't just completely rest and expect something to happen.
Right.
It just might not happen that way. So what did you think about the play when you first read it, Amanda?
We all read it together. And I think Elsa is brilliant in whom she casts, because the first read-through that we had was amazing. And I came out of it going, wow, this is a great play. She'd cast it so well that it was already there, that first reading.
What did you know about the character when you auditioned or when or perhaps she just chose
I really
you?
Didn't. Mm-hmm. No, she auditioned me. And I didn't know the play, so I had to fess up and say, I don't know it.
I don't know what I'm auditioning for.
So she gave me some pointers about the character. Mm-hmm. And because I played it as a mother, as this very loving mother, as most mothers are,
you know,
she's not. So, you know.
So what when you did read the play with the other characters, what was your response, your emotional response to it, and your character in particular?
My first response was, these people, each one of them are a mess. They all have their own agendas. They all want something, and they're determined to get it.
And did you?
I don't think it's changed either from that first reading.
And I'll tell you, after the first reading, I thought, I don't know what I'm supposed to do for the next 5 weeks
because
people are there, you know?
You chose
that's
beautifully.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and they're all so seasoned and right. talented. I mean, I think mm-hmm. everyone's an educator. And so we had that common lexicon right there already.
Right. And well, so. You know, that's an interesting point you make. I just want to make about casting. And that's because we've talked about you as a great director when you've come in
Ooh,
here.
She is.
And
she
of course, really the productions with Wanderlust. But casting, and I think a lot of people wonder, they go to a movie and like one of the, you know, third or fourth or fifth names that flash up on the screen is casting by. And I think some people wonder, well, why is that so important? But you've just revealed why it's so important here that to say you weren't sure what you were going to do because they were so perfect in those roles that you had chosen, even though Amanda knew nothing about this character before, you could see that in
well,
her,
you
her
know,
ability.
And I think it's like kind of a secret trick because, I mean, I think that's most of the battle is your casting. And you know when it's not right and you're trying to fit a, you know, a square peg into a round hole, you know. And you're trying and you try throughout the whole rehearsal process. But what you hope is that you have the right fit from the very beginning. And we did this time. So
Now, did you mention their names? You mentioned the characters, but who are the
actors? Aaron Broussard is Becky Shaw. Stephen Cooper is Andrew. Brady McKellar is Max. Amanda Newbury is Susan. And Charlie Halfenswain is Susanna.
So how did you go about working with these characters? Obviously, with Stephen texting you saying, what did you think about this level? It's been a process of discovering kind of archaeological theater here, of discovering
right.
levels that you could reach both in the script and in the actors and actresses. How did you begin that?
Well, I like to get it up on its feet first mm-hmm. and block it. And I always tell them it's in case, you know, I die, you can still have a play. Like, you know where you're supposed to move. You already
Heaven
have that figured
forbid.
Out. Right. But I mean, that part is done. And they're no longer worried, like, are we ever going to get to the part where we're walking around and know where we're going to be? You know, that's out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And then we just spent, I guess, two rehearsals. We sat around, we ate Chinese food and junk food. And we talked about we'd read a section and we'd say, okay, well, what do you think about this? You know, and that kind of started that process, which continued throughout the rest of the rehearsal process.
Elsa gives us questions, you know, something that she sees in the script, and she'll say, what do you feel about your relationship with Max, especially in this situation? So she lets us find our characters instead of telling us what she wants. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful process, you know, so it we gradually get to know them and become them and believe in them as, you know, as we're going through the rehearsal process.
And it's not a mind manipulation from my perspective. I don't know the answers a lot of the time. And I really try to – I mean, I cast people that I respect, and they're going to bring stuff to the table that I've never thought of, you know. And so we hope that the team will come up with a great final product.
Well, and I have to say, I keep coming back to the image here because ever since I first saw it on the poster, because it has to do with what we're talking about, it's a wolf pulling on or taking off a sheep's costume or a sheep, or it's the sheep becoming the wolf. It's hard to tell there. And I was going to say that you really don't have flat, predictable characters after a process that you describe, that you're really discovering layers and depths to yourself and the character that you're playing.
And then, and we discuss it all the time, all the way through rehearsal. You know,
backstage, I've heard.
And backstage,
while the show's going
on. Gosh. Yeah.
So flesh out your character. You seem to be a very, even though it's called Becky Shaw, the mother seems to be a very important part of this. Describe her.
I'm in it at the beginning and the end. And she's talked about all the way through because she, apart from Becky Shaw, who she's never met before, you know, she has a relationship with Max and with Susanna. Susanna was her biological daughter, and then she took Max into her home and raised him with Susanna. And so she has this relationship with them, but she is constant control for her. Her husband has died, and she wonders if he was gay, which, you know, is an interesting aspect. And so, you know, all of these different facts are, you know, as we go through it, are revealed.
And so you have a character who's even there, who's died, and
he's participating. And he's very much a character.
Very much in the play, very much so. And it's basically, I mean, she has this awful relationship with both of her children, but they still care about her enough to want to know how she is, and, you know, but they're all very manipulative.
Some consciously and some, I think, unbeknownst to them.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you said every character seemed like a mess, you know, when you first read it, I mean, how do you, without giving away the plot and what's going to happen at the very end, what direction is this mess going in? You call it a tragic comedy, so it's not really a romance where everything neatly ties up at the end.
No, it isn't.
What is Gina Gianfrido trying to... Where is she trying to take the audience?
I think she's trying to illustrate that everybody seeks out what they need. And sometimes you are not kind when you do that. And then there are times that you are, you know. And to be true to the things that you need. But it isn't. There is no bow at the end of the piece. And even our actors hope that the, like, scene 8, which doesn't exist, turns out differently, you know, like we have actors who hope it goes one way and we have actors who hope it goes another way. And like I said, it's a constant conversation.
Our desperate desire for resolution.
Right.
And a good resolution.
Right. You know,
we had friends last night after the show actually talking about for an hour about the show itself, you know, and everybody comes up with their own ending, which I think is wonderful. I mean, it's like, you know, they want it to end that way.
Well, it's successful.
And Amanda and I were talking while we were waiting, based on what your baggage is going into the play, you know, who irritates you because of somebody you knew before, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Well, I can just see a Freudian literary critic getting a hold of this play and enjoying it.
Yes, any psychologists out there, come and see it and tell us about it.
And if you are tuning in, psychologist or not, we are talking about the play Becky Shaw, The Tragicomedy of Manners by Gina Gianfrido. It is produced by Wanderlust Theatre Company. My guest, Elsa Demetriotis, is directing the play, and Amanda Newberry plays the mother in Becky Shaw. Do you have a name?
Susan Slater.
Susan Slater in
the
play. And how do you – give us a sense of – are you a wolf, a sheep at the end? What is your clothing like?
She comes in and out of it.
She comes in and out.
Yeah, sometimes she's a sheep, and then she puts on the wolf's clothing, and sometimes she's the wolf and needs to put on the sheep's clothing. But
And really doesn't give you any place to rest at the very end that you've arrived, that there's been resolution in your character, really. Or is there?
Oh, no, for sure not yours.
No.
That was an immediate response there, Elsa. So your initial reading of the play, has this all played out as you felt it would in the sense that you felt a real connection with the play and that this was something that would be a very fruitful process?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, obviously, I think that there were layers that I hadn't even explored initially on a first read through, but it's everything that I could have imagined and, mm-hmm. and completely to the credit of the cast. I mean,
oh,
please stop.
Elsa has done so much in this show. The set is unbelievable as well.
Well, what have been the responses since they're not here, the other actors? What have been some of their responses to the play? Are they equally as passionate as Amanda?
They're equally as passionate.
Yes.
Well,
they
really are.
I live with one of them. So, and I mean, that's all we're talking about. We're driving in the car and he says, oh, did you know that this must have happened? Or I feel really strongly that that's why he puts a pause there. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's constant. Charlie came up to me a night before last and said, I'm not sure that this is really the direction that needs, you know, can I try something new? And I'm sure, you know, and it's great to be able to trust your cast to, you know, they're so intuitive and they're so, like I said, so seasoned.
Well, but it also has a lot to do with your response to those words, to the writing of the play, could not have found the depth. You could not have found the layers without that kind
She's
of
She's an interesting
expert.
Playwright.
Mm-hmm. Have you read anything else by her?
I have not, but mm-hmm. I surely will in the future.
I think she's written for television.
I think so, too.
Yeah, somebody mm-hmm. was telling me that.
All right. So we might see more Gina Gianfrido on the Lafayette stages at
some
point.
Don't be surprised.
So Becky Shaw opened last night, and it just runs through this weekend.
Yes.
So you do need to see it. And as always, Theater 810 is such an intense, wonderful place, but very few seats, about 50 seats. Mm-hmm. So you didn't lose any
You know, we felt loyal to or obligated to make sure we could still fit 50.
All right. So. How do people get tickets for it?
Oh, they can call 337-484-0172 or they can go to wanderlustbecky.eventbrite.com.
And please reserve your tickets if you can, because I know sometimes people try at the door and it has been sold out. And mm-hmm. so it is a busy weekend, art walk, and a lot of people will be downtown. So you may want to reserve those tickets.
Oh, I should say that it is for mature audiences. It's not, you know, crazy objectionable content, but I would feel disrespectful to our patrons if I didn't say that.
All those many, many layers.
Yes.
Becky Shaw, The Tragicomedy of Bad Manners at Theater 810, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
And Sunday.
Yes, okay,
there's
so
a matinee.
Four more performances.
Yes.
You can see Becky Shaw.
And it's Sunday at 3, isn't it?
Yes.
Not 2.
Mm-hmm. 3
All
o'clock.
Right. And are you going to miss your character,
Amanda? We were just talking about that. I mm-hmm. said I already don't want it to end. Because it gets more interesting the more we perform it. So.
And there's no sequel. She hasn't written a sequel
no.
of the same character.
But maybe we should talk to somebody about that. Maybe Jaron Schexnyder.
You sound so mournful in leaving these characters. And it sounds like your audience last night felt the same way. Like
yes,
they wanted to continue talking
they
about
it. They were
them.
Laughing. It was so great.
Well, and not only laughing at the time, but talking about it afterwards.
And talking about
you
it
You can't
afterwards.
Ask for anything else.
No.
You know,
they couldn't leave it there.
Thought-provoking, definitely.
So go meet Becky Shaw and all of the other characters in the play through Sunday at Theater 810. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Judith.